World.
Bob's All right, World. It's Bob's World. It's brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
Bob.
All right, on our phone lines right now, guys, is the creator, the producer, director, creator. Sounds like he kind of does just about everything over there. And over there is where we find Rand Getlin, I believe. Rand, how are you, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Doing very well. We appreciate your time. We're running a little late. That's what we do here. But it's nice to catch up with you finally. And you are on the show because I am, and I think the whole show is, I don't want to speak for all of them yet, but we love your documentary, U.S. Against the World on HBO and HBO Max and all that. The 4 years with the men's national team, the five-part series, it has... I believe we've seen every last frame. I don't believe there's a mystery episode if they win the World Cup or something like that. But let me just start by saying it's phenomenal. I hope you're very pleased with how everybody feels about it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you and all the guys over there and everyone who's taking the time to watch. It's been a labor of love. We've been at it for, started thinking about it 6 years ago. Been in production since May of 2022. And finally got to share what we've been working on with the world in May of 26. So you can imagine, you spend 4 years on something, you hope it moves people. So it's been really rewarding to hear that people are enjoying it and getting to know the guys and finding reasons to support the team.
Yeah, how'd you make this happen? That, you know, when you talk about a 4 year project, it requires a lot of things, and I would imagine it was quite a big deal even 5-6 years ago when you start planning.
Yeah, I'd say the full version of the story is best told over many beers. you know, as you can imagine, pretty complex. You're dealing with a really difficult rights map. We did 48 rights deals for this project. So that's FIFA, CONMEBOL, CONCACAF. Of course, our partners are U.S. Soccer, the U.S. Players Association. And so go on and on and on. And you just say to yourself, you know, in retrospect, if you would have told us that this is what it would take to get it on screen, you probably don't do the project because you just say, how are we going to get through all that? But, you know, you get to the other side of it and it's just the most rewarding thing in the universe because you got a group of 26 young guys going out, giving everything they've got to try and make the country proud. And it's not always easy for them. You know, they're not prime cowboys, for instance, where they're just running over people and you got to stay believing. And so I think it's a good story for the country right now. Group of guys that come from different backgrounds, different rungs on the socioeconomic spectrum, you know, different faiths, different cultures. And yet when they come together, they bust their tails to go out there and give us something to cheer for and make the country proud. So it's worth it, man. It's certainly worth it. We spent a lot of time kind of trying to wrangle everybody and tell them that we thought that this could be, you know, really powerful. And of course, conceptually people are into it, but then you get into the details of how do you make it work? And I think we went to 11 countries, something like 67 cities, 400,000 miles traveled, you know, 37 live matches. So it's just a lot. And yeah, you figure out along the way kind of who everybody is. You're in the team environment with, 26 players, 33 staffers, and then all their families. And 15-hour days, sometimes 40 days at a time. And so you can't really hide, right? You learn a lot about each other. So it's the answer to how did you make it happen is a complex one. But we're happy it worked out. And again, just super excited that people seem to be enjoying the show.
How many hours did you have to cull through? We hear the Scorsese's of the world talking about, well, I could have made a 9-hour film. And what did you have to go through to get it down to where it was? Because I can't imagine the amount of footage you have.
Yeah, so we captured 600 hours, just ourselves.
Wow.
600 hours of footage over 4 years, and you have to get it down to roughly 5. So you can imagine there's a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor that we would love for people to be able to see, and maybe in the future they will be able to see it. It's a library that is, you know, a snapshot at this moment in time in U.S. soccer history, U.S. men's team history. And, you know, based on that first game, they've given the country a reason to get our imaginations going. And I've been saying kind of the whole way, what if it all works out? What if these guys go out and make a special run? You know, I think there will be a lot more demand for more storytelling. And so we're real happy that we have a bunch of it sitting there ready to be crafted into stories that move people. But yeah, it was a gargantuan task. Really thankful for our editorial team. They've been phenomenal since moment one, and we've been working together for about 10 years, us exclusively with them on the editorial side. And so build up a lot of muscle memory and, you know, chemistry between you. And yeah, like, how do you get 600 hours down to five? It's painstaking. You really got to figure out how do you get to the bottom of the funnel and create something that's distilled and yet extremely powerful for the audience. You don't want to lose anything material. So yeah, it's special. It's one of these stories that you just, like, you look back on and you're like, man, if I never get to work on anything else in my life, this was something I could be really proud of. And, you know, hopefully our kids will be able to press play when we're out of the game and be proud of it too.
Obviously, when you started this project, you didn't know that there would be a coaching change midstream, Berhalter out and Pochettino in. And one of the things, my favorite thing about this was getting to know the guy who's in charge. You know, we know him as a name from his many famous managerial jobs, but to get to know his personality and his history and just his passion for the game, was that something that jumped out to you as well?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, Bob, thanks for watching the show because you get this, but you know, it's just really stark differences in terms of how the coaches approach their craft. And I think Greg Berhalter is an excellent coach. We watched him for 2 years. No one's ever going to outwork that guy. He cared deeply. You cut him, he's going to bleed red, white, and blue. But definitely had a different style and approach to Mauricio. And then, you know, you get into the trenches with Pochettino, and the guy is fiery. You know, he's got this kind of passion for the game and brings a different sensibility to it. He grew up in Murphy, Argentina, which is absolute middle of nowhere, Argentina, you know, in a rural area. He played at Espanyol in Barcelona, which was an underdog. And so he's just got that woven into his DNA. And this guy is the ultimate underdog. And yeah, it was real rewarding to watch both of them operate. Mauricio in particular, we've spent the last year and a half watching him kind of come in and destroy a lot of what existed before, knowing that he needed to rebuild it in his likeness. And I think that first game against Paraguay gives you, you know, at least a glimmer of what that could look like in success. And so, you know, we believe in these guys, we believe in this team, and it appears that the coaching decisions that he's made, you know, if we can continue playing like that, I don't think there's going to be too many critics out there.
This is Rand Getlin with us here. He is the founder of Park Stories, which I assume is the name of your production house, and of course created HBO's U.S. Against the World, and the director of the entire project, and he joins us now talking about this sort of thing. So you mentioned the editorial team, and that of course leads me to the obvious question from curious viewers, which is how much editorial say was granted to you guys in terms of, hey, don't show this. I know there was mm-hmm. the moment where they say turn the camera off and all that, but even down to the Pochettino hire, I assume we're at a spot where if he takes the job and just says, I don't want the cameras in here, would you guys have kind of been screwed 2.5 years into your project?
Yeah, so all great questions. The top line is when we began having conversations with U.S. Soccer 6 years ago, February of 2020, one thing that we maintained from moment one was that we had to have creative autonomy. We had to have creative control. You agree to things that are standard in all deals. For instance, we won't defame people, which is easy to agree to. We're not going to defame people. It should be kind of a tenet of anyone that's doing any semblance of journalism. And so for us, you know, that was where it stopped. There was no control. There was no, you know, editorial overrides. And then, of course, you do a deal with HBO where they want to have a say as well. And we were real intent from moment one about making sure that we had as much creative autonomy as our industry allows, which was pretty wide open for us. You know, there's no time in the production where anybody stepped in and said, you can't do this. People will have thoughts, but ultimately it comes down to me. And while I'm one of the directors, I have a co-director, Luke Korber, who's phenomenal. My partner, Janina Palayo, who executive produced the project with me, you know, all of us weigh in and make sure that we feel really good about the story that we're telling, how we're telling it, and that it's honest and true to what we've seen after 4 years embedded. So, you know, look, it's, I would say this, like, I can't imagine there are too many productions out there that had this kind of access and unfettered creative autonomy like we did. Now, we made decisions along the way that I've discussed at length. You know, for instance, I'll give you an example. After the 2022 World Cup, mm-hmm. there was a blow up between the Reyna family, one of the players on the team, and
yes.
and Berhalter's the coach at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a decision not to spend an enormous amount of time on that for a couple reasons. One, it was very complicated. It would have taken a lot of time to do it properly and fairly, which was really important to us. And we were telling a team story, as mentioned, 26 guys make the final roster, but 70 were in the pool and playing for the team at any given time between the time we started and now. And so that was a decision that I made. It wasn't something that anyone came to me and told me I had to do, nor did anybody suggest that I had to do it. But for us, we're telling a team story that we want to use to empower and uplift and inspire the country on the doorstep of a home World Cup. So it's unique. It's unique to have that kind of trust, that kind of faith, and you can burn it pretty quickly, to your point. If Pochettino had come in and said, I just don't want cameras here, you know, what do we do? Well, contractually, I'm allowed to have the cameras there. But that doesn't mean he has to participate, and it can get pretty toxic pretty quick. So it's not a good way to operate, to force things on people. It's a much better way to operate, to earn and then maintain trust, which is something that we did over 4 years. And you guys know this. Look, you know, access is maybe granted by contract, but trust is earned every single day, and it can be lost in a heartbeat. So our biggest thing was, listen, we're going to be there for the ups and the downs. We're going to put the downs on screen just like we're going to put the ups. But we're going to be fair, and we're going to treat you guys like humans first. And over time, your actions, you know, 300 days of production with these guys, your actions end up speaking louder than your words. And we're grateful that they gave us a chance to earn their trust and maintain their trust. And we're at a place now where I'm sitting out here looking at the Pacific Ocean at the team hotel, getting ready to travel up to Seattle for this face-off against Australia. And, you know, we have absolute trust, absolute faith. They know that we're here to do something meaningful with and for them. And yeah, they got to go out and do the hard stuff, win the game. But if they do that, we're going to be able to tell a hell of a story.
Wow. Does that mean you're still filming?
Camera's still rolling?
We are still rolling.
Oh.
So we are still rolling. We, you know, this is something that when we created it, it's really hard to get stuff on screen. So you don't want to do stuff as a one-off. You know, ideally, this goes on forever. And there's a lot of complexity there as well, as you can imagine. But
yeah.
We are cameras up. We've been embedded with the team since May of 22 and have never stopped rolling. So we were there for Paraguay. We'll be there for Australia and every game that comes thereafter. So hopefully we got seven more.
Okay. So real quick, I know you had, you know, you had a journalism gig and it was a good gig and deciding to leave something like that and go on this adventure. I don't know how difficult it was, or if you had like somebody that you were like, look, I may be losing my mind here, but I think that this is the path for me. Like, how difficult was it? And what's your soccer background?
Yeah. At times you do think you're losing your mind. Like, wait, you know, Adam Schefter is someone who I worked with, I competed against. I found him to be, you know, not only really good at his job, but he's a really good guy. He's always good to me, even when we were competing, which blew me away. Because I was young and, you know, I wanted to beat everybody. And you see the reports of how well he's doing, which is not surprising. You say to yourself, like, did I make a mistake here? If I would have just shut up and towed the line, I could be making significantly more money than I currently make. But you don't do stuff like this for money, right? You do it because you're driven by something bigger and broader. And so for me, when I left the NFL Network in August of 2016, it's kind of crazy to say, you know, we started on this journey and I would be lying if I said I knew exactly what it was going to turn into. I knew that I wanted to tell stories with more nuance, more depth, more care. I didn't want to be beholden to anybody in how I told those stories. And my partner, Janina, who's also my wife, was in it with me from moment one. So, you know, it was challenging to walk away from something that I worked so hard to get to a place where I was an on-air national insider for the NFL Network. There haven't been many of those in history. And to just walk away from it and start something brand new, you know, you go through moments where you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, was this the right decision? But it's like anything in life. You know, you commit to something and you go full bore, and then you end up on the other side of it 10 years down the line, and you ask us, would you trade it for anything? We wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Awesome.
It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
That's great.
Keep us posted, man. It's so good, and people should watch it before the next match. Get started on it. You're going to love it. U.S. Against the World, it's on HBO Max, and it's great. And we don't just say that. We watch a lot of this stuff, and some are not great. This one is great. So check it out, Rand. We appreciate your time, man.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers. There he goes. Rand Getlin. Awesome show. Interesting guy. Wow.